Chris Burton is Vice President of the Rail Future East Anglia, the campaign group for better rail services. Chris, welcome to the programme. What do you make of these price rises, or these proposals anyway?
Well, it's always very sad, isn't it? And, oh, good afternoon, I should say first. It's always very sad when the people got to pay more for something so essential, first travelling to your job or to the university or whatever. They wouldn't be doing that at this time of the year, of course. But it's inevitably part of the investment process for the railway. I think the real argument is about whether you keep it to RPI, the retail price index, or to the CPI, where they don't include mortgage payments and so on, which I'm told would be much easier for the Treasury and for the pension funds because they'd have to pay out much less in inflation increases for those pensions which are inflation-linked.
Right,
but, yeah. But, you know, you've got to raise the money for investing in the vast amount of work that's being done on the railway at the moment and proposed in the future. So what I want to know is what do political parties, or how do they think that's going to be done?
Well, Labour wants to renationalise the whole thing.
Yes, but, I mean, what's that going to solve? The money still has to come from somewhere. Are they going to borrow from somewhere that is not going to charge interest? I doubt it. I mean, I've never heard of anyone who loaned money on that basis, unless, of course, there was a political thing behind it, in which case that would be even more sinister. So I really don't understand how they're going to manage that. They need to explain that.
So are we being ripped off? Because, you know, people, if I was paying 13% of my monthly salary to get up to London and back so I could do my job, I would be pretty fed up, quite frankly, because that's a lot of money, isn't it?
Well, it depends how much you're earning, but if you're working in a shop or one of the more modest jobs, yes, that would be a heck of a lot. And it would be, for some people, it proves to be crucifying in the end because they just have to get a job much more local. And this is not helping that. Well, I feel great sympathy for those who feel compelled to make those journeys, not just into London. I mean, obviously, in Essex, London is the focal point, but the same problem exists for people in Manchester and Glasgow and the other big conurbations, Birmingham. So it's a nationwide problem. And the people in Manchester and certainly would be particularly irked by this because at the moment their service is in disarray for much the same reason that they are on the Thames Link route, although that's improving considerably week by week now, not before time.
And Chris, what about Jeremy Corbyn's, his statement that a lot of people are making a lot of money out of this? Shouldn't those people who are making a lot of money out of this be paying for the improvements because it's their business and they should have a business model that makes a profit?
Well, they always bring some money to the table when they get a franchise granted. But it doesn't happen in all of them. I mean, for example, once again, if I may use the Thames Link one, which doesn't really affect people in Essex, all the fares there are currently paid straight to the Treasury, the government. And then they're just paid a management fee. And that might happen more frequently in the future. I think the government is trying to change the nature of franchises. It's always said that the franchisees never make more than 4%, 4 to 5% of their income as profit, and the evidence is pretty well supports that, but I've never seen the actual figures. So I think the histrionics we hear from certain parts of the industry about people milking it is probably a considerable exaggeration.
And of course the government has been very keen over the last few years to transfer the cost of the infrastructure and also the rail network generally from the general taxpayer to the consumer, hasn't they?
Oh yes, absolutely. Well, that has been a policy of successive governments for about 25 years now.
Yeah.
And I think they've gone about as far as they dare go with that, because it's not been quite so swingeing as it has been in the past. The government is always providing quite a bit of the money one way or another. But yes, you're quite right about that.
So is it a bit absurd, perhaps, to have a way of putting up prices that actually is fixed regardless of whether the service has improved or not? Because it doesn't give much incentive, does it?
Well, in a way, what they're doing is raising the money for the future, not for what's just been happening. I mean, where the service is a disaster, people should be recompensed for it. Again, I quote Thames Link as being on the periphery of your area. I have a glorious example of that, and in Manchester, and in Lancashire generally, where Northern Rail have had something of a disastrous new timetable. Yes, those people do need to have their money paid back. Many people have lost their job because they couldn't get to work. They couldn't rely on the service, and that is absolutely unforgivable.
So, Chris, do we just have to put up with it? Do we have to recognise that there has been vast underinvestment in our rail infrastructure for decades now, and we've got a lot of catching up to do, and it's just we happen to be the generation that has to do it?
Yes, I think the argument about lack of investment, I mean, it was certainly true from nationalisation in 1948 for the next 40, 50 years, but that's changed radically. I think the problem we have now is trying to get a Victorian system, essentially Victorian system, into a 21st century railway without causing major disruption, and that is actually impossible. That's one of the reasons they've mooted HS2, but I won't get into that one because we could be here for another hour on that. But that's essentially what it's about, and it's very, very difficult to do that, and it's very expensive because every time you close a line, what they call a possession, to do major engineering, compensation has to be paid to the companies who run trains over that line. That includes the freight people, and they really are commercial. They don't get any help from anybody.
Chris, great to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed. Chris Burton, Vice President of the Rail Future East Anglia, which is a campaign group to try and get better rail services.